Once it's down in your heart, it's down in your heart. You can never get away from the truth. You can never really get away from truth. You can run, but at some point, you're going to bump up against truth one more time. Yeah, Donna. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, Chris, can you, well, hang, I'm putting this up, but come on. Come on up here. I want you to do. Chris had a...
Pastor Kathy, you said yesterday a word called you said invalid, and then you also said it's invalid. And the Holy Spirit said these are one word wonders. And so in invalid means as a noun meaning an ill person, but invalid as an adjective means meaning not valid or not truthful.
That's
all
I know the difference. I mean, like, there's word plays, and so sometimes when God speaks to you, you'll think it's this, but it's like, listen to what he's really saying, because it may have a different connotation. Okay, amen. Okay, Suzanne, can you come give our announcements this morning? Thank you, Chris.
Good morning, Spirit of Truth.
Amen.
Is everybody doing well this morning?
Yes.
Say, God is good.
God is.
And his mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Amen. So, announcements for today. We have birthdays that we want to celebrate.
Yes.
So, August birthdays. Hold it closer. Well, it was kind of making a noise, but okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Barbara's birthday is August the 7th, tomorrow. Yes. Mackie's birthday, August the 13th. We have a lot of August birthdays. Sam's birthday, my sweetie, August 17th. Brother George, August 18th. So they're kind of close. So, yeah, happy birthday, guys. We love you. And as you have made one more trip around the sun, may it be even blessed than the year before. So we just, and then Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I love me some Holy Ghost. So I just wanted to wish you guys, all of us want to wish you a happy birthday. We are believing God for a blessed and wonderful time for you on your birthday. So also some more announcements. Saturday prayer. We who go know. We know it's powerful. We know that it is anointed. We know that God shows up and shows out, right? So it's at 10 o'clock in the church office. We'll start meeting in the church office like we did years ago, but now we're going to start again. It's a beautiful, cozy, anointed, precious room full of the power of God. So come and join us for prayer on Saturday mornings. Bible base Thursday nights at 6 o'clock, also in the office. It's a powerful time. Right now we're studying about healing, what the Bible has to say about healing. It's in the Word of God. Don't just go and feel like that, oh, this preacher told me this or that about it's passed away or God doesn't do it today or whatever. No, find out what the Word of God says about healing and stand on the Word. Jesus went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Also, we want to mention Mission Sunday is August the 20th. However, don't let that stop you from sowing seed now, today, every Sunday. This ministry has some of the most awesome outreach that they do, that we give to so many different areas that I didn't even know. And I'm going to get a list of those and remind us periodically of what those missions that we sow into are. One of them is LaDonna Osborne, T.L. Osborne and Daisy Osborne's ministry. She took over the ministry when they went on home to be with the Lord. She goes all over the world, international. Even though you may not be able, you may not be called to go to Africa. You may not be called to go to Germany. You may not be called to go, but you can send, sow seed into the ministries that are, and it will be to your account in heaven. When you get to heaven and someone walks up to you, thank you for preaching the gospel to me. I'm from Germany. I'm from Africa. I've never been there, you say. No, you sowed seed for the man or woman of God that did go. And it's to your account, treasure in heaven. Amen. So that you have treasure to lay at his feet. When we get to heaven, do we have crowns to lay at his feet? Anyway, so praise God. Also, I wanted to mention this book, China Cry. This is about the story of Nora Lamb. It's in the church library. If you didn't know, we have a church library. We do. And there's some awesome books in there that you can rent out or, you know, borrow, bring back. She was a martyr. She went on to have an international ministry herself to the Chinese people. But she moved to the United States after everything that she went through, horrendous, which she went through. You know, our pastor has a heart for martyrs. And people, and obviously I do too, for people that have suffered for the gospel. We're very blessed in this country, but there are people in other countries that are not so blessed, but they are tortured and all kinds of crazy, horrible things done to them because simply because they're Christians. This is the story of Nora Lamb. It's awesome. It's unbelievable. It's miraculous. And it's our God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, Suzanne.
Glory, glory, glory. Glory! Oh, we're going to talk today about instructions. Instructions. God, I thank you for your words of life. They are. They always are. Everything in you is life. There's nothing in you, God, that's dead. There's nothing in you that's evil, only good. And I thank you for these words today of life. I pray they find a place in our heart, that these words will go forth and find a place in us where they can begin to produce in us what your heart was for it in the first place. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus' name. Instructions. You know, all our lives we deal with instructions, don't we? Even the prompts on your computer. Instructions. I was thinking about my dad teaching me about mowing the yard when I was a kid. Oh, some of y'all got to do that. Okay. And including a riding mower that I ended up with after I moved away and had over an acre. And so I had this little used riding mower that didn't have any brakes. Yes, yes. When you're young, you do things like that. And my dad was so concerned and he began to give me a lot of instructions. And I knew you had to keep the oil changed. I knew there were certain things you had to do. And I had seen him do it. And he made me get on and practice. And he said, you really need brakes on that, whatever. And I go, oh, it'll be fine. Of course, there was a big ditch in the front because I lived outside city limits. There was this big ditch in the front. And I just remember him drilling me about, you have to stop here or you're going to end up in the ditch. You know, you're going to end up in the ditch. And whatever you do, don't try to go sideways. You'll tump over and the mower will be on top of you. All these kinds of instructions. But I remember having a lot of instructions. And he said, it's really best if you wear a hat.
You're going to be out in the sun. When you go under branches, they'll take your head off if you don't have a hat on. You'll scrape your whole face up. All kinds of things. I was thinking about this because when I did the yard this week, and I had on his hat he used to wear, his straw hat, and I was thinking, I was going under a crepe myrtle tree. I'm sorry, it's a weeping willow, and how everything hangs down, and they just were raking across me and everything, and I just tucked my head, and went right on through. And I was just thinking about, I'm literally wearing his hat. So that's pretty cool. But I was thinking about these instructions. They sound so simple. But when you haven't done something before, how do you know really what to do or what to look for? And when you're making a turn with a push mower, it's completely different than when you're making a turn on a riding mower or a tractor or whatever. It's completely different. It's like when I was towing the RVs all the time. Well, I remember one time we had one that was 31 feet long. We had a 4-foot thing on the back of it to put all the bikes and the kids' bikes, all our bikes, and then some of them were inside too. And I remember, boy, your turn radius is going to be very, very different. And just wait till you get to back the thing up. So it's really fun when you're hauling stuff. So you learn, you know, that you can't drive with an RV like you drive a car. You know, it's not the same. And you have to have a lot of distance because it's going to take a lot longer to stop something heavy than it does something light. Just all these little learning curves, things like that. But I remember him giving me instructions about that. Talking to me about that, he said, you know that thing, it won't stop on a dime. You know, you understand that, right? And he said, no matter how you put the brakes, if there's just so much momentum pushing and different things, he would talk to me about things like that. I remember that. And I was thinking about all these instructions. I'm glad I paid attention, is all I can say. I've never fallen off the mower. Not because there was not an occasion, I will say that. But I've never fallen off the mower. I've never fallen off a mower. And I never broken up the RVs. So we're good, we're good. But, you know, we have all kinds of places of instruction. Schools, they're places of instruction. You don't learn without instruction. You die without instruction. You learn everything the hard way. Well, that's a dumb way to learn. You can learn things easier by listening to someone who's done it and walked it and talked it, breathed it, lived it. It's so much easier. And I look at the ministry of Jesus because oftentimes whenever we enter something really new, we've got to receive instructions. Maybe a new job. You might have a period where they're going to do some special training. I know my daughter's going through that right now. She's at a different hospital, working in a different hospital. Their whole system's completely different. Their equipment, everything's different. And so she's having to learn everything, like, from ground up. Even though it's a skill that she's been doing for a while now, it was in a different system, in a different hospital. So even when you transfer to a new job, even if you're doing the same type work, they're going to have a different system. They're going to have you put things on the computer differently. They have a different, you know, maybe management system, the way they do things and the management of personnel. There's some things that are going to be different. And, you know, in real life, we expect that. We're not turned off by that at all. We expect that somebody's going to train us. Somebody's going to tell us how to do this that they have been doing, right? So I got to thinking about this, and I got to wondering why it is that sometimes Christians balk at that. They step into a whole new life. You're told it's going to be a new life. There's going to be things that are different for you in the Christian life than what they were. But where's the instructions? I've seen people come to the Lord, or I've heard of, seen and heard, people come to the Lord, they say they've received the Lord Jesus, but they don't have an instruction manual. They're out there trying to be what they think is a Christian, which often is wrong. What they think it is, instead of reading the manual and never receive the instructions that they need so that they're prepared. And you don't get this just on your own. And a lot of it you won't get in church. You should get the right instructions, but you don't. And sometimes we're in church and we're not listening very well. And then there's some things that you heard and you believed it. And so when you heard the truth, you couldn't receive the truth because you believed the lie for so long about other things. Oh, And so You didn't know how to do your relationships? Had you even seen any decent, good Christian relationships? A lot of people grew up, they never saw a real Christian marriage. So how do you know how, what a Christian marriage is supposed to be? So I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about all the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples. Tons and tons and tons of teaching and instructions for 3.5 years. They did nothing but eat, breathe, live Jesus. And even then, they faltered. They faltered. It's different for us, though, because Jesus comes to indwell us. They didn't have that till after he was raised from the dead. They had information. They had some information, head knowledge. Because, see, your head can be telling you something your heart would never say. Because when Jesus comes to live in your heart, he's going to say things to you your head would never dream up. He's going to have you want to do things your head would say, well, you ain't got time to do. Y'all understand? And so it's different when you're actually born again. It really is a different life. If you live your life the way you always have after you were born again, we need a visit. There's something wrong. There's a disconnect somewhere about what this is really all about. And it's so much more adventurous than what life has been when you get to really know Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus is a real character. And he's got an awesome sense of humor, too. So since it's a completely new way of thinking, we have to learn what that is. We need instructions. We need the instructions. Don't try to live the Christian life without the instructions. You can't do it and you won't do it. And a lot of days you won't even want to. Because the words of Jesus, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. So when you're not hearing the words of Jesus, you're not hearing life. But you hear a lot of death in your culture. The news is filled with death, with what's not working, with what's wrong, with who's upset, with who's angry, the wreck, the weather. You could just go on and on and on. But Jesus has a way of coming in. He cuts to the chase with stuff. He goes straight to your heart. He'll bypass everything you've been thinking to speak something to you. And the only way you're going to know it's him is because it's exactly what he said here. A lot of times Jesus will simply bring a verse, a Bible verse to you and speak to you. Because he says, my words are spirit and they are life. I think it's important that we pay attention to what he taught us. I think it's important that we understand what are the instructions of Jesus to us. What are we supposed to be doing as Christians? What is it really? Jesus is your personal life coach. You know, everybody today wants a life coach. They even train to be a life coach. Jesus is your ultimate life coach. I'm not against anybody who's doing that. I'm just saying this is how God told it to me. Jesus is your personal, one-on-one, 24/7 life coach. How to do life. How to do life 101. And he starts at an entry level. How do you start anyplace else, right? You start at the beginning. And he begins to reveal who he is, that he's God in the flesh, which takes you back to Genesis 1 and 2. He always does that. And he talked about his Father who sent me. He talked about all kinds of things in his ministry. Jesus teaches you and gives you instructions about relationships, about work ethics, and about character development. Those are three powerful things that he gives us instructions on. And we're going to start today in Matthew 4. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you have a notebook. I hope you're trying to remember stuff. This is class. When you come here, you're in class. You just need to understand that you're in class. When you come here, you're going to learn something. You're going to have something you can take away. Because that's what God wants. That's his heart for us. So I'm going to start in verse 1 of Matthew 4. Now, this is after Jesus had already encountered John the Baptist. He'd been baptized. And then the Spirit immediately sent him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That's verse 1. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. That was his answer to the devil. No argument. He wasn't trying to prove who he was. He didn't feel the need to do that. Do you? I don't have to prove who I am to anybody. Jesus said, it is written. Know what's written, and then you can speak it forth. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live our life by the words of God. This is a foundational truth right here. This is Christianity 101. Man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, by just things you can see, taste, touch, feel, handle, swallow, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's important to know what God has to say then. If I live my life out of what God says, it helps me to know what he said. I have to have the instructions. See, God's going to give you instructions, and he gives instructions to you on a very personal level. We're looking at some Bible verses, but I'm telling you, when you belong to Jesus, and he says he's made a provision for you to have a helper, that's the Holy Ghost. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wouldn't tell you needed something you don't need. Why would he? Why is it just like an individualist for some people? No, God's no respecter of persons. He sent God to you to help you. That's who the Holy Ghost is. He's God, the third person of the Trinity, not lesser than God the Father either. They are all one. God is one, and he operates in plurality. I'm going to keep saying it and saying it because a lot of people have weird ideas about all that. So it goes on to say, so then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written. Now, since Jesus said it is written, then guess what the devil does? He uses language you use to talk to you. Did you know that? The devil will come and talk to you in language he has heard you use. He sure will. He'll talk to you. God will talk to you in something that you've read from his word. Yeah. And it'll be your voice, but you'll know it's God. So the devil says, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Well, then Jesus said to him, it is written. He never argued about what's written or anything. He just said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. But Jesus referred to the word of God to defeat Satan. Why do we think we're going to do it any differently and be successful? Why would we think that if Jesus used the word of God to defeat the devil, we can defeat God and not use the word? I mean, defeat Satan and not use the word. Say, that makes no sense, does it? And so, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now, you have to understand, he'd been fasting 40 days, 40 nights. He is a hungry person. He is tired, worn out. He's been in the desert. There are no shower stalls there. There was no creature comforts whatsoever. He says, again, the devil took him on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He showed them the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, I'm going to let you know, the devil had the power to do that because it was all in his hand, because Adam and Eve had lost dominion. It was the devil's to give. The devil is the god of this world system. The Bible says so. I'm so glad Jesus didn't fall for that, because Jesus also knew the devil is a liar and all he can do is lie. So if Jesus had agreed, the devil wouldn't have done his part of the deal anyway, because he's a jerk. So he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, there it is again, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now I'm going to stop right there. Who do you serve? See, you serve God.
God is someone you serve. God isn't someone who comes all the time. We think God's there to serve us. We're here to serve Him. And Jesus said it. It's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. So even when I'm serving a person, I'm doing it because I serve God. Even when I'm doing helping someone, or maybe somebody needs a financial help or a pep talk or whatever it is, I'm serving people because I serve God. Why do I serve people? God loves people. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And when Jesus came, remember, He was servant of all. Jesus came and showed us what serving looks like. Jesus came and showed us what serving sounds like. We have instructions through the ministry and life of Jesus of what it is to be a Christian, a Christ one. They were called Christians because they were like Christ. They acted like Him. They had a similar language. They were interested in what Jesus had to say. And they met and they prayed. And they didn't pray like other people prayed. They prayed differently. And they prayed with confidence. And they got results. And that even when all of their goods were confiscated, they didn't fall apart. They rejoiced. They rejoiced when everything they owned was taken from them because all they did was love God. What do you think would happen in America? I mean, we went through COVID and thousands of people have left the church. Like, well, what did that have with you believing God? What happened? What happened? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Moving right along. So let's keep reading. He says, and you can only serve Him. Then the devil left him. Well, yeah. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. If you'll hold out and you'll resist the devil, God will send ministry to you. He'll send something to bring you that comfort. He'll send someone. There'll be something that'll come your way. He'll send them. The angels only do the bidding of the Lord. So if angels come and minister, it says, God said, that's it. Go on in. He did it. He did it. He did it. I love it. He did it over and over and over. Jesus did it every single day. He did it with His family. He did it in His workplace as a carpenter growing up. He did it in the streets. He did it with the Pharisees. He was doing the will of God. He was serving. And as He served God, He was serving the need of all humanity. So when people all don't want to serve God, you're very limited as to how much of humanity you're going to really be able to help. Because see, what humanity needs to know most is the truth. Because the truth they know will make them free. Only the truth you know can make you free. Because it doesn't matter how many people tell you something, if you don't believe it and it's not down inside of you, it won't work for you. It's a personal truth. You have to have down inside of you where you know, I've heard from God. This is God. I believe it. I'm living it. And whatever it costs me to do that, it just costs. Whatever it is, it just is. I mean, we're going to walk on streets of gold, y'all. What's the deal? You're here for a limited time only. For a limited time only. We're on the planet. If you live to be 200, you're only here a short time. When you think of eternity being billions and billions and billions of years with absolutely no end, that's a long time. Oh, it is. Go to Matthew 5. Look at these. We have to refer to what's written. And the Word of God gives us what we can say, what we can do, tells us how to live. It gives you your instructions. I think that's the kindness of the Lord. You know, He didn't leave us here. And not only did He give us all these instructions, but then He sent us a private tutor called the Holy Spirit.
Has anybody ever needed a private tutor before? I have. And I got a lot better because I had a private tutor. I had extra help. I needed extra help sometime. And I remember one time I was struggling with something in school, and Mom said, "Well, get her a tutor," you know. And I was fine. It was fine. Never had any more issues with that. But what I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit is your tutor. Now, if you think you can get saved and you already know how to do all this, you'll fail. You'll be despondent. A lot of those people are the people who are angry at God. Well, they never followed the instructions to begin with half the time. Or they were given wrong instructions. Wrong instructions will take you down a path you didn't want to go. And you'll be there a lot longer than you wanted to be. And you'll have a hard time coming back. Because you'll be so disillusioned. There's a disillusionment in that. So let's look some more. But wait, there's more. So in Matthew 5, I'm going to start in verse 14. Jesus said, this is just some of his teachings. You are the light of the world. People who know him are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, not glorify you. They'll see your good works and glorify God. That's how it's supposed to work, by the way. He said, do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Remember, he's dealing with Jews here. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it, and it's over with. He said, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And then when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, this was completely fulfilled. And we have a new contract called our new covenant. That's what a new testament means. It means contract. It's what testament means, a new contract. And so whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, if you don't pay attention to the things that I teach, and you teach so many different, it's going to be really bad. It's not going to go well at all. We've got to follow what Jesus said. He says, for I say to you, verse 20, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, if you guys don't come up with what I'm teaching you, because he was teaching something beyond the law, because the Pharisees had no heart. There was no love. And they used the commandments as tools for their own personal advancement. And they used preferential treatment with people. God does not do that. He does not. Everybody is given the measure of faith. Everybody, when you're born again, you get the measure of faith. Everybody has the same measure of faith. People don't get faith at different levels. You develop at different levels. You develop. And some people develop and some people don't. Some people get in the book and read and learn and say, God, I got to know. I want to know. I do not want to live my whole life on earth and not knowing what I could have known. I'm not willing to do that. Are you okay just not really knowing how God really wants to use you? See, the Word of God challenges us, right? It's supposed to. Now go to Matthew 6. Look in this verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and this world system. That's what mammon is. It's the riches and the lure that this world system offers. And I think sometimes people are real, you want to encourage your kids to do well, whatever, but you got to watch how you do that. Because money is not everything. Money does not bring happiness. And there are some people that are incredibly wealthy And they've been contemplating suicide. They're so miserable. You see it and hear it all the time. I've been looking at this recently. Oh, and I forgot the fact thing, who it was. It was the government agency, whatever. But they said the highest rates of suicide in America are middle-aged white males. So our men need help. Middle-aged white males. And I think sometimes the consequences of choices begin to hone in around middle age, like the choices you've made all through your life. And where did it get you? What do you have to show for it? That sort of thing. And I think sometimes people start thinking about that and they get very down, very, very down. Because the reality of how many years they might have left, they begin to think about that. And it's kind of like, well, what, now what? But you see, when you have the love of God in your heart, there's always another step. There's always another thing you do. There's another person to talk to. There's another Bible study to lead. There's another prayer to pray. You understand? I mean, it never ends. Nobody in the Bible retires. Dee and I don't ever plan to retire. We're going to go till we're dead. Because I see that's the Bible way. I mean, sit home and do what? Sit home and do what? That just sounds like the most boring doldrum thing I can imagine in my whole life. I want to be involved with people. God's heart is people. Our heart has to be people, or we're off somewhere. But he says you can only serve one master. And every decision we make, we're choosing every time. Because you can choose Jesus today and tomorrow choose something else. You can choose Jesus right now, sitting in your seat, and this afternoon change your mind. If you really choose Jesus, he'll remind you that you did, though. He'll remind you, well, what happened this morning? What was that little prayer you were praying to me this morning about, God, I want you to use me? I said, but God, it's so hot today. But it's so hot. God said, what about the, and he'll just repeat himself. What about the prayer you prayed today about use me? Now, this is your decision. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I hear you. I'll do it. Or you'll say, it's just too hot. And you'll go get your iced, whatever it is. This is real life, people. I talk to you about where we live, okay? Because we all are there. We know how hot it's been. And I'm just using that example. It could be the rain. It could be anything. Whatever is keeping you from doing, because when you're helping people and you're in the will of God, that's where you're the happiest. People say, well, what is that joy stuff? Well, it's when you obey. Joy is in your obedience. Because you're not living out of just your fleshly desires anymore. Your spirit is alive to God. So God comes in with more life for you out of that realm of glory. Because the life that you had, you used for him. And he just keeps you restocked up all the time. It's just always there. And you can tap in whenever you need to. Ah, so good, so good. Now, look in Matthew 6, 31. He's been talking to them about their cares, their life, their worry, and that you can't serve more than one. He says, so how do I navigate here, planet Earth, if you're God? Well, you always obey God. Now, God's not going to have you not pay your taxes or something. Some people, I don't know, they need to be grounded. They need to know what the whole book says. God's not going to have you disobey the laws of the land unless it has to do with you being able to share the gospel. And some people, it's like, I've said this a million times, you can't keep kids from prayer. A child who wants to pray will pray. You don't have to have a law for that. I mean, I think we're fighting some battles that are just like, if you want to pray, pray. I've prayed many a prayer on an elevator or walking the halls of a hospital. Nobody knew I was praying. You don't have to have a thing where, okay, everybody has to stand up. And now we all have to bow our heads. We have to show that we're praying. Well, most of what we do is in secret anyway. So I don't know. Some of that I don't understand when people get so upset about that. You know, it's like, you couldn't keep me from praying. I've prayed everywhere I ever wanted to pray. You know? So I'm just saying, you know, choose your battles. Use your energy to focus on how do you win the lost. See, because the battle is not bumping up against what you think is bumping up against you. It's winning the lost. And then they change their mind about all kinds of things. That's where your money needs to go. Winning the lost. Winning the lost. And don't get side-railed with all the things of what things look like. Ah, the fire of God is heating up every day, y'all, in America, down in people's bones. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. Live it. Breathe it. And we can do it right here, right now. Like fire shut up in my bones. Look at this, Matthew 6. Look in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, well, what are we going to eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He said, for all these things the Gentiles seek. He said, don't have the same interest that all the Gentiles have. Don't be worried about everything the Gentiles or the unsaved in this passage. That's what it was talking about. Those that don't know God are concerned about. We should not be concerned with everything everybody else is concerned with. I know, I mean, I believe you go vote. That's how you have a voice. Go vote. Get up, do something. He says, what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We act like sometimes God doesn't know that we have a need. Wow. He knew you were going to need it 100 years before you were born. He said, but seek first. He said, this is the remedy for your worry. Fix to share with you what it is. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. He said, God has said, I'll bring them to you. I'll make sure it happens. You stay on the page with God. He said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He says, quit trying to live so far into the future because that takes you into worry. Now faith is. Faith is something that's always in the now. Have you ever noticed that? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is a now God. He's here where, right where you need him right now. I appreciate that about him. Look in Matthew 7. Look in verse 7. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures this morning. I hope you're writing them down. You need to go back and read them. I'm reading, these are the words of Jesus. Have you noticed? These are the teachings. These are the instructions of Jesus. He is giving us bit by bit instructions. The remedy for worry is to seek his kingdom first. So when you find that you're in worry, are you seeking his kingdom? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, get your focus where it needs to be and you'll stop worrying. Get your focus where it's got to go. Stop worrying. So in verse 7, he goes down, and after he said all that, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. He says, oh, what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Now I see a connection there. Did you see? He said, therefore, that means it's connected to something that was just said. How do you treat people? Do you actually treat people the way you want to be treated? Or do you treat them according to what you think they deserve? Come on. We don't treat people according to what we think they deserve. That's not our call. That's God. Don't play God with people in your heart. Don't do that. But if you treat people the way you want to be treated, but it's connected to ask anything and I'll do it. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. He's talking about looking into the things of the kingdom of God. If you're hungry for God, go after God. Get in His Word. And especially the teachings of Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh. If you want to know God, go see what all Jesus had to say. And you'll know God. You can't know God apart from Jesus. You can't do it. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. That's so precious to me. And he says, because I'm a good parent. Look at this. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will give a stone. You wouldn't treat your own kids that way. God says, what makes you think that I'm less than that? That I won't respond to you? What would there be in you that would make you think that I would not respond to you? After he sent Jesus to die for all of us, and then we're praying or we get in a hard spot and we're wondering about God, are you there? Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Where do you think he's going to go? Everything he did was for us to know him. Everything he did was for us to know him. All that Jesus went through was so that we could know God intimately and personally. He's right there. I've said it before, he's right wherever you left him. In your own thoughts. But he's never left you. How long did he walk around with you ignoring him? Let's don't be like that. He's so good. I'm so glad there's so many people here today who love God. That's not how we treat him. He says, therefore, I'm in verse 24 now, Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, I haven't even done all of them. I've just picked out a few scriptures here for this morning. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The instructions of Jesus are for us. He says, if you'll pay attention to what I teach you, read all the red. Just keep reading the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Because Jesus talked all about the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. And every second time you go through that, go back and read Genesis 1 and 2. And you see God's perfect will for mankind, for people. God's perfect will is in Genesis 1 and 2. And all the teachings of Jesus actually line up with that. Now you have to remember, he had to fulfill the old covenant. So when you're reading, you need to understand some of the things he's talking about. He was fulfilling that old covenant because we didn't have our new contract until he rose from the dead, until he paid for our sin. Our sin had to be fully paid for when he died on that cross. And then he came up out of that grave. The scriptures were fully fulfilled then. That he had arisen on that third day. Y'all stand up, please. We have instructions. Jesus is a great teacher. He's a great teacher. They even called him that. Rabboni. Teacher. He was an awesome teacher. And it said, and he didn't teach like everybody else. He spoke with authority. He spoke like somebody who was familiar with what he was talking about. Like somehow had experience in that. And I think that's important. He's the best teacher you'll ever have. He's your personal life coach. He loves you. He's giving instructions all the time. Are we listening? When things aren't going well, are you paying attention to his instructions? We have to check ourselves. We all do. You have to check yourself. Did I today get discouraged and I just didn't really want to be in the Word today? If you want the Word to help govern your life, it has to go down in you. You have to take it in. And I teach this while I'm here so then you'll actually go and do that. Because he says it. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, is foolish.
See, it only works, this Christian life, it only works if you take it in and then apply it. Apply yourself to it. There's even a scripture that says, apply yourself to knowledge. Make a point to start learning. And don't depend on the preachers and the teachers. Don't depend on a prophetic word. I'm not against any of the gifts. I'm not. Y'all know I'm not. It moves here. But I'm saying don't depend on that to get you through a hard time. This is what will get you through a hard time. These words of life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. You cannot separate Jesus from this book. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the Word, and then he became Jesus in flesh. And in Revelation, it says he's called the Word again, by the way. And he doesn't look like TV Jesus anymore at all in his glorified body. His head and hair is white as wool. Sword coming out of his mouth. His voice sounds like Niagara Falls. His eyes are like flames of fire. There's burnished bronze all across his feet. I mean, it just goes on and on about describing this one that you will stand before one day, who loved you, gave everything he ever had. And what he had was more than you could ever imagine, because he left the glory of God to come here. He left those streets that were paved with gold to come walk in the dirt with us. Dusty roads. No shower stalls. Not even porta potties, y'all. Nothing. We don't think about this sometimes, about what his life really was. God on foot. He was God on foot, turned loose on the general public. And we esteemed him smitten of God. We said he was smitten of God, that God was doing this to him. That's what the people that didn't believe, that had no understanding, even though he had told them everything. I've been sent by God. Listen to my words. Everything I'm doing is what my Father told me to say and what my Father told me to do. He said, I'm not doing these miracles. He said, my Father does the works. He didn't even claim that he did the miracles. He said, my Father is doing that. I obey him. But because I obey him and I just show up and do what he says, he does these works. And Jesus said, this is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to live. This is how I want you to live. But we have to know what he's saying first, right? The reason why Jesus could quote so many scriptures is because he learned them. He learned them. Y'all bow your heads, please. God, you're so good. You're so kind. I'm so glad you're God. Somebody else wasn't. People are always trying to be God somehow. Overtake other nations and countries. They want to be God. Just like Satan. Satan wanted Jesus to bow down to him. And Jesus said, it is written. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad it was you. I'm so glad, Jesus, you won. I'm so glad you purchased victory for me with your own blood. And then you handed me the victory that you purchased for me. Oh God, let me walk in it every single day. That there would not be a time in my life when I would just sit that down and count it as nothing. Oh God, help us, help us, help us to see what you've really done for us. And that we can live the life you call us to live, because you have already empowered us to do so through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You gave us power. We have power over Satan. We have power over devils and demons and darkness and all kinds of things. Power to be loyal to you. Power to persevere. Power to even be persecuted if need be. Power to be martyred if we need to be. Whatever it is, God. To stand before you empty-handed would be a horror to me. I would be so sad. Oh, but when we stand before you, we want to hear you say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. I want to hear those words. Oh, do you want to hear those words from him today? Just tell him, God, let that be me too. When I enter in, that you look at me and you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest. Enter in. See, we work while it's day, but there's a day, there's a time coming when we can rest all we want to. And Jesus says, when you show up that day, that you can enter into rest. And you'll never have to fight the devil again. You'll never have another sad moment. Nobody in heaven's dying. Nobody in heaven is sick. Nobody is proud or haughty or difficult to deal with in heaven. Everybody gets along in heaven. It's the utopia everybody here on earth keeps looking for. It won't be here. It's there. It's there. Oh, accept Jesus today. Accept his offer of salvation, that he paid for your sins with his own blood. Believe that. Believe that. Confess him as Lord, because he is. Believe he died for you. Believe he's for you. He's not against you. Everything he ever did was for you, to give you life and to give you a more abundant life. Receive him today in your heart. If you don't know this Jesus, oh my goodness, you need to know him. You need to know him. This is why everything's so messed up in your life, because you don't know him. You can know him and you can learn. Don't just accept him and then never learn and get your instructions. Get your instructions. Get some instructions. They're not hard. They're not hard. And they are quite doable, because you have all the help you will ever need. Just say, Jesus, I believe. I believe you died for my sins. So help me, I do. I believe you were a mass of blood on that cross. The Bible says you were not recognizable. If people didn't know it was you, they couldn't have even recognized you. You were so bloodied up, so torn up, your body so ripped apart, and you did that. You served us and you showed us how to serve God. Help us serve God with all our heart, mind, and soul, all our strength, all our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to have a time, whoever wants prayer, whatever, we're going to just take some time and do that at this time, okay?
Hey, Barbara, could you come forward and get what you got in the prayer room this morning?
Well, we were praying, and I kept hearing, can remember it all, about the wind and that we need to catch it. So that's what I kept hearing in my spirit, something like that. I don't remember the whole detail because I didn't record it, but that's okay. And then, yeah, so then.
So I got this before she said that. That's the reason why I wanted her to say that. There is a wind blowing. Can you feel it? Are you even aware of it? Where's your focus? What has your attention? There is a fresh move of my spirit stirring. It's a new thing that I'm doing. You will not be able to see it if you look through a traditional lens. You must have an open heart. I once stood before my people, but they couldn't see me. Those who have a relationship with me and spend intimate time with me will know me when I am manifesting. Let me show myself to you. Let me show myself through you. My spirit is being poured out. I will move in many ways. I will use people that some people say cannot be me, but it will be me. There is a wind blowing. Look around. You will see the signs everywhere.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Amen. Does anybody want prayer this morning? Amen.